I asked Jeff this morning if he wanted me to stick to the script or ad lib, and he said, "Oh, you've known me long enough, you can make it up." So all I can say about Jeff is that he probably needs no introduction to this group. He's been here for many years, and he's been with Nautel since 1990, I believe, and since 2007, a member of their sales team, and doing a fantastic job. If you need a Nautel transmitter, he's the guy to talk to. And without further ado, Jeff.
Give me all this fancy high-tech stuff. I was telling them earlier when I came in, I said, this is like old home week for me because I was standing out at the registration booth. Everybody walked up. It's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, I said, I should be the official WBA welcoming committee. I could stand out there and look pretty. That might require surgery. The topic that I submitted, you'll notice I'm not up there. I can't do the behind the podium thing. I'm going to pace around and distract you just generally. But the topic that we're presenting is push radio. That took me half an hour to do. I hope you appreciate it. Now, push radio isn't a product, it's a concept. I don't know if he's here yet or if he's coming, but Paul Dadian from ERI was joking with me. Anybody who's been to these conferences regularly knows that when I was here last June, I was a little bit bigger. I weighed about 50 pounds more than I do right now. Paul looked at me and he said, you need a new belt because this one's starting to get a little worn. Well, the reason that I keep it, I told him, I said, it's sentimental because when I bought this belt 2 or 3 years ago, it was on the last hole. And as I started doing a little exercise and working out a little and tightening it up, it moved back a notch or two. I got one notch left. When I hit that notch, I'll buy a new belt. It's also kind of symbolic of some of the things we've seen in the industry recently. A lot of folks have had to tighten up their belts in a lot of different ways. All right, times have been pretty lean. We're seeing more engineers covering more stations with fewer spares. We're seeing folks have to make transmitters go longer. We're seeing more people doing more stuff with less resources. And this is one of the things, we have these sales meetings, and because all of our sales team are broadcast backed, like Gordon said, I've been with Nautel 20 years this month, actually. All of our other team have been around for a good long time, some of them with Nautel, some of them with other companies, some of them in the private industry. So when we have a sales meeting, we tend to spend a lot less time talking about what we really should be talking about, and a lot more time talking about, hey, how could we do radio? Because it is something we like to play with. And one of the things we've done, Nautel last year, most of you know, celebrated our 40th anniversary. We're based out of Nova Scotia. That's going to stay there about 5 seconds and it'll fall off. One of the things we did last year, Nova Scotia has got a pretty strong sailing heritage. And as a result of this, there's actually been a type of sailboat, a little one-man sailboat called the Laser that was invented in Nova Scotia or developed in Nova Scotia 50 years ago last year. As part of their 50th celebration, the World Laser Sailing Championships were held in St. Margaret's Bay, just literally less than 5 minutes down the road from our main office. And they said, we'd really like to broadcast this. And they called us and said, well, can we do it? And we said, sure, why not? I mean, in addition to having some pretty good engineers and some pretty good, somewhat conceited salespeople, some of our guys have actually been on air once or twice. Chuck Kelly has done a few stints on air way back in the day, way back in the day. I mean, you know, back when they had the dinosaurs pumping the generators to get the transmitter on the air. Anyway, I hope Mark's not here, because I think, no, there he is. Uh-oh, that's it. I'll hear about that one later then. So what we did, we provided a transmitter, and we got an event license. Industry Canada's wonderful in that you can get an event license for 30 days, 60 days, sometimes up to 3 months, to broadcast special events. So we put a radio station on air from Chuck's backyard. Little one-bay antenna, literally tie-wrapped to a tree. Worked like a champ, covered the whole bay. I don't know if you'd call it a professional install, but it served the purpose. One of the things we did was made it possible for the folks at the regatta, which were 20 or 30 miles away, to send content directly to the transmitter from wherever they happened to be. And that's where this concept of push radio came from originally. And as I say, it's not anything that anybody's not already doing to one extent or another. We're just talking about a way to streamline it. See, historically, radio's been a pull-through medium. Transmitter sits there and claws the data from the studio. Everything's assembled at the studio. You have people at the studio all day long, engineers, etc., all your remote control, everything is done over that one dedicated link. Okay, requires some pretty careful timing, especially when you've got multiple audio sources. If you've got a break for a satellite feed, the commercial must happen at exactly this point, the ID must happen. Well, the ID these days, 5 minutes either way, give or take, if they don't bury it. Okay, but it required a pretty heavy studio presence. Nowadays, with automation and folks scaling back and automated delivery, we're seeing less and less of that. And it becomes a situation where we're saying that maybe there's something we can do to maximize the people that are there, maximize their time. I mean, a salesman, as an example, I can sit back in my office all day long and answer the phone if it rings, make the occasional phone call, but nothing beats being able to sit down with somebody, shake their hand, and say, hey, how you doing? Okay, for engineering, if I've got 20 transmitters to maintain at 7 or 8 different studio locations, the ability to be in all those places simultaneously is pretty challenging. Some of the engineers I've run into have come up with some really creative ways of being able to monitor multiple sites. BlackBerry, iPhone, Android, those things are wonderful tools for that. Okay, for monitoring, as I just said, again, you're wherever you're located, you have a control point. Okay, so if you needed to do investigation on a problem, as an example, you're going to the transmitter site. I think I was joking with his Doc Tar's in here somewhere. I saw him. There he is. I see the hand. He's hiding. But I was joking with him this morning. He said he was trying to make a plan for what happened if Windageddon happened while he was here. And I said, well, that's easy. Transmitter trips, push reset. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Transmitter trips, push reset. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Transmitter trips, push reset. Boom! Go to the transmitter site. No problem. Okay, and historically, that's been all you really could do. These days, and I've got pictures of our gear there, but in all fairness, I see Mike and I see Dave down there. I know Jeff and Tim from Harris are here. I don't know if there's any BE guys here yet, but I'm sure they will be. And it's not just us. Everybody is developing these capabilities. Okay, this is not something unique to us. We just gave it a name. What we're seeing more and more is IP-based delivery systems. Okay, Mark Johnson from Caillou Communications is over there. They do IP over satellite, among other things. We can do remote control over IP. Okay, most people have seen the user interface that we've developed. Folks are streaming audio over IP, either as a direct audio over IP, as a live wire type feed, or over a streaming service like Shoutcast. Okay, all of these things mean that we have, to an extent, decentralized the entire transmitter process. The only thing that really needs to be in one place anymore is the actual physical transmitter. So what we need is a way to push content to the transmitter. I've got a picture of our VS series there, and I've got one on the booth, so, you know, you come by and I'll do the sales thing then. But basically what I'm talking about is as we develop the DSP-based software and the control capabilities of the equipment more and more, you no longer are in a situation where everything goes to the one central point at the studio. You can literally, and this is what we did with the Laser Championships, you can push the content directly to the transmitter. Okay, the VS series is an example. Okay, one small sales plug, I'm sorry. The VS series, as an example, has a very rudimentary playlist. Okay, it's a real-time deal. We don't have a time clock system. It's not a full-blown automation system and not meant to replace one. This thing requires people. Last time I checked, a couple of people weren't much more than a good automation system. So at that point, you've got people that can be out there. One of the most successful stations I deal with, at about 9 months after flipping the switch and going on the air, we're running with black ink. That's pretty rare in radio these days, and this was only 3 years ago, so the economy wasn't a lot better then. They did it by being out there in with the people that are actually paying the bills, you know, the advertisers. They did, over the course of one summer, they were averaging, I think they told me, between 7 and 8 remotes a week. That's a huge amount of time in the field. That's not a lot of time in the office. Okay, so we can send the audio directly to the transmitter, either as a web stream with Shoutcast server, over an Axia node, Livewire nodes, and again, as I said, we've got an Axia interface built in the transmitter, but that certainly doesn't preclude you from using the same technology with any transmitter at all. All right, so there's a lot of things we can do there. We can use the transmitter's presets, and it'll vary from one model to another. But you can program a preset. This one may be running an AES audio source. This one may be connected to a satellite feed on left and right channel. This one may be connected to a IP-based audio source, like a Shoutcast server. Switch the preset, change the audio source. Use your remote control, whether it's dial-up, whether it's IP-based. Change your audio source. And we use it for backup audio. Okay, so I mean, there are several things you can do to switch where you're bringing the audio from. Again, you don't need to physically be at the studio for this. You can be out doing a remote and still have rudimentary control. Okay, as I said, one of the things we do have on the VS is a very rudimentary automation system. You can build a playlist. You can load stuff to a USB stick in the back of the transmitter. Build a playlist. You can massage it from anywhere that you've got an IP link. See if the backup button works. Yay. This is one of the coolest little things I've run into recently. It's a Netgear in this case. It's a wireless IP router. Uses basically, you plug in either an AT&T or a Verizon or somebody's 3G card. And the thing is a full-blown 3G internet router with no physical internet connection. The router itself runs $99. 3G card, last time I checked, were between $50 and $60 a month if you want a continuous data service on them. You can literally have IP at any transmitter site that you can get cell service at. Some of them not so much, but again, it's an alternative solution. We've got customers that are looking at something like this. You know, I mean, and Mark and I were discussing this last night. If you've got 100 different stations, you're probably going to want to go with a satellite-based service. You can split the cost up enough to make it worthwhile. If you've got 4 or 5, maybe that's harder to justify, in which case this may become an alternative. Okay, the other things that we can do now that we could never do before. Control and monitoring, again, over IP. You can do, even with the fairly graphics-intensive one that we've got on our product, you can control it over a 3G card pretty easily. In a real big pinch, you can control it over dial-up. It just takes a day and a half to connect. I think it's about 15 minutes, but it's pretty lengthy. All right, we can provide instrumentation with this technology that we could never touch before. And again, this is common to everybody. I think most of us are putting spectrum analyzers in either exciters or transmitters now. I mean, 5 years ago, who would have thought that you could have a spectrum analyzer in your transmitter? Now, 10 years ago, who would have thought you could get to your transmitter over the internet and actually be able to turn it on, turn it off, raise the power, lower the power, let alone look at it and tell you what the spectrum looks like? Let alone be able to build a playlist, control the audio content directly at the transmitter site. Your STL antenna could fall totally down. And if you've got a wireless IP bridge, you've still got control, so you're still maintaining your control requirement, and you've got the ability to send and modify your content as required. Okay, this is stuff that 5 years ago, this was dreams. This was really something that we couldn't have conceived. Okay? I keep picking on the VS because I've got one and it's really cool and it's what I know. And that's, I guess, the big thing. You always talk about what you know. But VS transmitters, 2 rack units high. Okay, hard to fit a big 17-inch touchscreen on a little bitty transmitter. But again, DSP technology, through the IP link, you've got the same functionality as you have on the big touchscreen. Okay, these are concepts that just, it astounds me. I've been with this company, as I said, 20 years. When I started, transmitters had toggle switches and neon bulbs. Some of them still do. And it's really cool. It works. It works well. But the challenge is it's not very flexible. With the software-defined systems that we're developing more and more these days, Jason, I'll stop moving around if it helps. With the software-defined systems that we're developing more and more these days, it's almost to the point, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say by 2050, I'm giving it 40 years so I'll be retired, none of you can track me down if I'm wrong. But I'm going to guess that in 40 years, the only difference between, for example, an AM transmitter and an FM transmitter will be the software that goes into it. Everything else, all the hardware will be identical. You just load in the code. Now, my theory, and this is my wild, wild theory, is that it'll be done with some version of nanotube technology where the devices can be configured on the fly to be a high-frequency MOSFET or a low-frequency linear device, whatever it takes. Okay, there's your Isaac Asimov prediction for the future right there. But more and more, we're getting to the point where the studio becomes a place where folks can sit down for their monthly blue sky meeting and say, well, how can we provide better service to our customers? How can we look after this transmitter, these transmitters better? How can we do this? How can we do, and less of a place where you have to go to actually make the job happen. Okay, and again, looking at the live wire interface, the IP-based audio delivery, we have got, and I don't recommend it, we've got people delivering the audio to the transmitters over public IP. That's a risky area that I'm not prepared to tiptoe through myself, but it's being done. It's possible. Okay, through IP direct connect audio, through AES, through mono left right, all these things. Okay, digital upgrade, obviously it became much more of a sales talk than I thought I was going to be. I'll have to confess, I only wrote half of this, the half that doesn't have all the transmitter slides, honest, I promise. But again, these are all things that we can do now that we couldn't even think about doing 5 years ago. And as this technology becomes more and more common, what we're seeing is slowly but surely, it's starting to become more and more cost-effective. Oh, look at that. Back to the beginning. All right, so that's the basic concept of it. As I said, you can blame Chuck Kelly for the name push radio, because that was his word. He goes, what do you think when I say push radio? And I say, field service guy, right? 17 and a half years in tech support. First thing I thought was, it doesn't work and you push it off the table. But that's literally what we're talking about, the ability to push content to the equipment, to push the control, to pull the control back, and do this from literally anywhere in the world that you've got a connection. Now, we're dealing with all IP-based. Doesn't necessarily have to be. But it's a concept that could potentially make the job a little bit easier. How cool is it that as soon as the BlackBerry, yeah, there's one, someday, they've been promising us since March 2010, but how cool is it that you can literally sit down with your iPhone or your BlackBerry and check every transmitter site that you maintain from somewhere in the middle of the room? And I see the head tucking back there, and I'm willing to bet Chris has probably got one or two that he can access from the... what are you using now, an iPhone or an Android? Oh, no. Look at that. He joined the dark side, too. Art's got his hand up there, too. Hmm? There you go. Now, for what it's worth, the Droid 2 has flash technology in it. It's... If you're trying to watch a movie, the reviews are a little less than glowing. But if you wanted to access a transmitter for control or monitoring, more than capable. All right. Any questions? Yeah, Doc. Oh, we're going to make you speak into the mic. You should not give him that thing. I've heard him on the lodge every now and again, and he likes that microphone.
Maybe do a little singing or something? I just, as you know, put in a VS1 about 2 months ago, and we did just that. They don't have an STL. They have an IP link from their studio to the transmitter, and when we first set up the transmitter, we actually ran a playlist off of the USB off the back of the transmitter until they got the studio completed. So they actually ran the radio station from the transmitter from a USB stick. My question is... It's an interesting concept I found with the VS1, and I'm kind of wondering who in Nautel designed this, but there is a setup wizard when you turn the transmitter on. And literally the paperwork that comes with it, the manual's on a CD, but the paperwork that comes with it is a fold-out card. Just how to set up your transmitter. I guess, what is the thinking? It's an interesting concept. Don't get me wrong. What is the thinking behind that, that we're seeing more and more non-engineering types, as it were, set these things up? And, you know, with a transmitter like this that does all that, was that maybe the target audience or something like that?
That's fair enough. What happened, and this was one of the things that came about in the design process for the VS series, it's a low-power, low-price product. We're seeing it go into a lot of stations that don't have the budget for any kind of full-time staff, hardly. And yeah, we're running into a lot of situations, and we foresaw this, where some pretty non-technical people were going to be installing them. So what you get when you buy a VS series is a brick. You plug it in, you connect an antenna, you connect an audio source, you turn it on, and it says, hi, I'm a VS1. What frequency do you want me on? And you dial it up. Okay, thank you. What power would you like? And you dial that up. Cool. Where'd you connect the audio again? And you tell it that. Okay, I'm done. Thanks very much. Hit reset. I'm ready to go. Like Chris said, the startup instructions are a 4-page foldout, I think. It just literally unfolds like a quick start guide. But that was one of the reasons. The other reason was, of course, to keep production costs down. We literally sell these things and ship them in the order of 100 or 200 a month. And by just testing them all at one block frequency, and then the last step in the test procedure is to clear that data, rather than doing an individual setup, we tested them at every frequency during the development stage and walked away from them. So that was the big thing, yeah. You won't see that if that was your unspoken question with the high-power rigs. The big transmitters require very careful configuration and setup, and that's not going to change. Now, again, talking about my, you know, software-defined transmitter 40 years from now, no guarantees, but I'll be retired. It may happen at some point, but I sure don't foresee it. Anything else? In the corner, way back.
What if your program director wants the Omnia or the OptiMod sound on his transmitter? Do you have a plug-in card for that? Is it software-defined? How does the audio processing get handled?
That's a loaded question because it makes me get very specific. But up till now, I've been able to keep it general for everybody. On the VS series, we have an option for an Orban 5500 processor internal to the transmitter. You can plug any processor into it. I mean, I've got some customers that have got two or three processors plugged into the transmitter, one on each audio input. Put three Omnia ones, one for each feed. Process them individually, as an example. It means, in that case, that you're probably going to want the processor at the transmitter site, but again, the processors are becoming IP accessible. So you can change your configurations and your presets on the fly in your processor as well as on your transmitter. You could theoretically link the two together so that if one changes, it selects the other one to the right configuration. You know, I could have a transmitter with two presets wired or programmed exactly identically, same audio source, same power level, same everything. The only thing I'm doing is using the status output of the second preset to select a different preset in the processor remotely. So again, that's something that's pretty easy to configure. Anything else? Easy breezy. They figured I'd start you off nice and slow and easy. See, first day, we don't want to get into anything too depth. Thank you very much, gentlemen.